eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. The more we talk about him, the more he gets near to us, you know. So we should spend more time talking about him. If you want him to come near. Oh, thank you, musicians. I guess that didn't give me a break to relax or sit down. Call to duty and gone, ready. Okay, here we are. We thank the Lord for the weekend. And we thank the Lord for the weekend before the weekend. And we thank the Lord for every day. Because God is good. Not only this weekend, God is good the other weekend and the one coming. And I don't guarantee tonight, but those two are going to be good. No. God is good all the time. So, yes, we had good services. And that is a hard act to follow. But I'm not here to follow any act but mine. So, I am who I am, and I will be who I am. And we all different. And God called us with a purpose. And you know, nobody can do what God called me to do. And I cannot do what he did. I like to have at least one-third of his energy. Not half, just one-third. I will do a jig around here with one-third of his energy. Anyway, but we all have a purpose. And we are not competing. There's no competition. You do what God called you to do. I don't care how big, how small. But you are the only one can do it. You, nobody else can take your place. Remember that. Because you don't know what God is going to do with you. So, and you're the only one can do it. Even if I don't come tonight and Brother Andy has to replace me, God could give him what but he inspired me to speak. He can do that. But he probably put something in his heart. Because what I had to bring, I'm supposed to be here to bring it. Nobody else. And you're not going to hear from nobody else. Even though it's the same thing all the time. Because there's nothing new under heaven and under earth. So, just bring things to your remembrance. That's all I can do. I cannot bring nothing new. Only what has been said. Amen. Let us, let me turn this on here first. Let us read one scripture that we can find there in Ephesians. Let's see. Okay. Okay, go here. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. Let's see, this will work here. Okay, everything is working. But speaking the truth in love, I title this message, it's a third part of maturity. It's called true love. So, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up, see, mature. So that is a trait. That is something that we must have. Like I was saying, you know, we cannot define something with just one, you know, trait or one element. Just like the Holy Spirit, you cannot have one evidence. There's many things. And sometimes we don't even have the time in the service to define just one concept out of the Bible. We need more time. But tonight, well, I'm going to look at love, true love, because love is part of being mature. He just said it over here. May grow up into what? Into the head, the capstone, that is Christ, in all things, in respect with anything, lacking nothing. So when we grow, the more we grow, the less we lack for him in the body, and the body lack even less. Which is the head, even Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Before I pray, hold on. Somebody gave me a last minute request. Please pray for a mom, my mom, Nancy. She's very sick with C-D-I-F-F. C-D-I-F, I don't know what that is. And colitis. She needs a physical healing. But more than anything, she needs salvation. So, let us pray for this one too. Heavenly Father, we bring you Nancy. Father, you know the situation, and you know why. You know what? Well, sometimes we get caught up in these situations, sickness, diseases, Father, but if it wasn't for the storm, we never understand what peace means. If everything goes peachy and everything is a picnic, how do we know that you are a great God, a healer? But the reason we go through the storm, the reason we go through what we go through is to show us that there's still there is a God that will deliver us. So the storm is just there to show us that God is still God in the throne and is always in control of things, Father. Sometimes we don't like to go through things like this, but Father, how else are we going to know? It's the law of contrast. If you want to know what love is, you're going to have some people to hate you because you're going to have to love them. But if nobody hates you and everything is fine, how do you learn love? We learn things. We learn peace by war. So it's the law of contrast. And we don't like it sometimes, but Father, but we know that the results is for our own benefits. So we can learn more and more and grow more and more closer to you. As we know that when sometimes we pray the last prayer, sometimes we cry the last cry, sometimes we just got to a point where I can't go any longer, we cannot go any longer. We get to a point where everything is dark, there's no way out, we don't see the end of the tunnel. When we get to those points that look like hope against hope, and that is when you come. Someone to turn the light on. But if it wasn't for those times, how do we learn that there's peace? That you are our healer, our lover, our father that care for us. Father, you care for Nancy. We put it in your hands, Father, but more than the healing, we need the healing of her soul, Father. Father, we ask you to touch her physical and spiritually tonight. This is a daughter crying out, Father. And before she cried out, you already heard. Before she even called on you, you already was moving. Father, because you know everything. Even before we think a thought, you already know. So, Father, this is not a surprise to you. You're just waiting on us to voice our petitions so you can be God. So tonight, Father, we ask you to undertake on this situation. And Father, we are going to hear how great is our God when you come in the scene. Father, bless the service tonight. Bless everybody that made an effort to come. Bless those that are sick or could not come and they are streaming. Bless those that are traveling. For whatever reason they are not here, be, watch and cover our pastor wherever he goes from any harm, from any temptation. The devil is out there trying to like a roaring lion, trying to destroy, Father. Protect him, cover him, Father. Give him a good time. Rest him, Lord. Relax him, Father, and bring him back again, Father, to continue the fight. Because this is a fight. We are in a fight, Brother Brown says. This is not a picnic. So, Father, sometimes we need to get away and nourish our soul, our spirits, our bodies, gain strength, Father, so we can continue the work that you have purpose for us in this time. We thank you, and we ask you all these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. You can be seated. So let us read a quote here from Brother Branham, The Hidden Life. Sure, they eat manna out there, but they didn't know about this, he says. They never been in there. Have you? My dear brother, don't despise my ignorance, he says. But I want to ask you something. Have you ever come to the place in life where Christ means more to you than all the arguing you could do about your church? This is a question you're going to have to answer tonight once we get done. Because if I give you answers and I don't tell you the question, you don't learn anything. For every answer has to be a question. So if I start preaching and I give you answers, what to do with everything, and then you probably say, what was the question? Well, But this is a question, and it's not the only one. Then he says, has Christ meant more to you than all the world? I don't mean from emotions or mental workouts. I mean from the depths of your heart that something settles in there, that something that has taken place, but you don't know how it comes. Maybe you cannot explain it, but you know it did happen. He says, and only you are the one needs to know. But you are hid away, and in your whole motive is to serve Jesus Christ. You want me to repeat that? He said, your whole motive in life is to do what? To serve Jesus Christ. So if you didn't have any purpose, you got a purpose tonight. Everything you do, indeed, everything you do, you need to serve Christ. He says, have you entered that place? Have you entered that place, my dear brother? Have you come into that place where you don't care what anyone says? Not to go out and act smart, but until the love of God is so anchoring to you that you cannot see nothing else. Your whole motive is to do the will of God. Amen. Your whole motive is to serve God. Your whole motive is to do His will. Amen. Love for everybody. The one that persecutes you, the one that loves you, the one don't care, the one that speak false things against you, I don't care. Everybody's everybody. Flowing free from everywhere. I mean, can you have such a love that it flow out of your ears? So much love that flow out of your pores? So much love that you cannot even contain yourself? Are you there? Are we there? I don't think Brother Branham is just filling up page with words. I think this means a lot. Yeah. What a place to live. Of course, the devil won't let you stay there too long. That don't mean that you are going to come out of there, because once you go in, you don't want to come out. But the devil was always trying to get you out of there. See, and that is the attitude, the mentality that we need to have. Once you find that place, once you find that kind of a life, you know, there's not enough devils in hell to get you out of there. Once you get into the Holy of Holy and that thing falls down, who is going to get you? The only way he can get you is if he goes in. And if he goes in, it's your brother. So this is not a joyo life, you know, up and down, up and down, up and down. Once you get there, once you find this hidden life, there's no way you can come out. Unless he's going to go in and get you, and that's, it ain't going to happen. That I know. It could happen. He says, that's the hidden place. That's the place where we go, where we got to come. Talking about maturing, growing. That is my goal. That is my vision. I'm not here just to pass time or to enjoy. That's good. Services or to have something to do or not to do. Excuse me. But I have to have a vision, because without a vision, we perish. So I hope you make this a vision. You want to get into that hiding place. With everything, I don't care what they do to you, everything looks good. I remember when I got the Holy Ghost the first time. Well, then the second time, I asked for a proof. But let me tell you, the second time, I asked God, do it again, because, you know, not that I was disbelieving, but I wanted to, you know, to make sure. And when he did it again, it lasted me for a whole week, at least for a week. You cannot live in heavenly places for a whole week when you have to go to work. In fact, I went to work, and I don't care if they would have slapped me, kicked me, spit on me. I don't care. I would have just loved them Why? Because that love was all over me, and I could not do anything about it. It's just like possesses me, possess you. And I don't care what people do to you. Well, I'm glad that the whole week ended. I know I didn't want to come down out of the mountain, but I couldn't do no work all that week, brother. I was just walking around like I was an angel in the skies, you know. And everybody probably looked at me and tried to figure out what happened to that guy. He's on drugs, or let's send him to the nurse so they can do a test or something, you know. We need to find out what's going on. But that was my second experience. My first time when I received the Holy Ghost, not that I received it twice, but the first time that I really received the Holy Ghost, I got lost. But I'll tell you that in another story. I didn't get lost, you know, in sin. I'll tell you that story later. That the place where God reveals his secret, see? That's the place where we got to come to. It's not an option. You don't buy a car, you get options. You know, you want to buy a car with a automatic transmission, that's fine. That's an option. You want it without air condition, you want it without, you want a stiff shake, you know, whatever you want, that's an option. This is not an option. This is something that you got to do. Even if it kills you. Because that's what's going to happen. You have to die. I had to die to myself. There's no other way to obtain this. That place where we got to come to, my brethren, that's the place where God revealed his secret. Mine. So, oh, brother pastor, I don't know how you get so much out of this little thing. And you go there and you go here. I'm amazed. Get in there. Get in there. He will reveal secrets to you. I'm not saying he's going to give you more than the pastor. Maybe he do. I don't know. I'm just saying. You want to find out things, you get there, and you ask God. God will reveal his secrets. That's the place where God does the placing. Oh, that's getting more important. That's getting more urgent now. Because if you don't get there, you ain't going to get placed. And you don't get there, I'm not going to be called. If you don't get there, nothing happens. We become churchgoers. If your mud is to come to church, it's not to get in there and get placed and get called. And place, we have wasted our time. Listen, after 40 years, I don't want to waste my time. I might as well go to the world because this is all I'm going to get. That is okay. Do you get what I mean? When we started the service, the first song that brother sung was, I wrote it here, Jesus, I love you. You know, the Holy Spirit knows how to synchronize things. And he knows how to put an inspiration in our heart, an inspiration in the songs, an inspiration in everything, so you can catch it. Yes. This is not my work. This is not nobody's work. This is the Holy Spirit work. Yes. Jesus, it says, Jesus, I love you. And then he kept singing, he's the joy of my salvation. Yes. He's the peace in the time of storms. He protects you. He shelters you. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's your dear friend. He's your tower. He protects you. In the time of trouble, run to that tower, he says. So, the title of my sermon is True Love. So, it's not a coincidence. I don't believe in coincidence. I don't believe that you're here as a coincidence. I don't care who or not, you are not here as a coincidence. You are here because you need to hear these things. Because I didn't prepare this just so I can amuse you, because I don't know how to amuse you, even though I can make you laugh. But I cannot amuse you, entertain you. That's not what I was called for. I'm here to tell you the truth. 1 John 5:2. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep what? His commandment. The first thing Brother Branham says, our motive and only and whole motive is to what? To do the will of God. And that's his commandments, his word. And then John 15:12 said, this is my commandment again, that you love one another as I have loved You. Do you have any idea how he loved you? If you don't have an idea how he loved you, how are you going to love anybody else? The Bible said in the Lord's Prayer, forgive me as I forgive others. Forgive debtors as I... So the amount of forgiveness you give is the amount of forgiveness that God will forgive you. The same thing with love. The amount of love, the amount that you understand how to love someone is how much you're going to get. You cannot get no more than you understand. And you cannot do more than you understand. And those secrets, you want more, you have, God is the only one that can bring you along into the journey. See? You cannot make yourself know anything else. You know what you know, and that's it. And the rest is God bringing you slowly to maturity. So the more you walk, the more you go, the more you mature, and the more you should love. The more you should understand the love of God through the things that happen in life. It says, exposition of the seven church age, the Ephesian church says, 1 John 5:3, he says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, his word. One little deviation, not just a deviation, a little one. If we lean, just leaning, you don't even have to fall. But if you, it's our thoughts, an idea, we lean. This is what this sacred place is so, you know, no, it should not be taken so, you know, easy or common, because any little thing that I said, I'm going to have to be accountable for. And I have to make sure that I would tell you something that you might lean towards. Believe in something, because that, he says, just a little thing, he says, only a little deviation from the word of God was a step away from Christ. So you need to think about that, because I don't care how big or how small is the deviation from the word. It's a step away from him. So this is very serious, because if our own life, and we quote and we read and we hear, but if our life just deviate, listen, just a little bit, it's a little bit away from Christ. People say they love God, they go to church, they even shout and rejoice and sing and have great emotional time. Nothing wrong with it. But when it is all over and the smoke disappear and the screaming and the yelling and the running and the kicking and the screaming and the snots and all that stuff disappears, then I want to see. This Brother Brown says, he says, but when it is all over, watch and see if they are in the Word, walking in it, living in it. If they go through all the other and they don't walk in the word, they can say they love God. They can say they love God, but their lives tell what? Another story. Listen, you can lie to me all you want, you know. But the worst lie that is when some people lie and believe their own lies. That is the worst lie. They convince themselves to the point. They lie so much that they think it's the truth. See, that is the worst place to be. But you know, and that's what I said, you can only lie to yourself, because everybody else already knows who you are and what you do, even though you don't think so. Because your life, your walk, the way you converse, the way you talk, the way you move, tells me, your body language tells me more than what you speak through a mouth. In fact, I like to see a live leaf than to hear that you tell me I'm a Christian. Well, I don't want to know that. I want to see a Christian. So when you go to Walmart and that lady there, she had a bad day, got up in the morning and nothing went well. That was the worst day of her life. Now she had to work. And then she's a checker, so he's checking your groceries and you give him whatever, $100, and she gave you $200 back. She's out of it. Okay, $20 back, too much. So now you have a choice to make. I'm honest Bill, Christian, honest Bill. Yeah, okay. But here's your little test. Are you going to go back and tell her when you get in the car and look at your list? Well, that's her fault. That's her business. Let her come out of her check. She needed to pay more attention. Blah, 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 blah. $20 richer. No. You are $20 more miserable. You just failed the test. Because you said you was honest. So God will test you. You think, well, those little things don't count. Any little deviation. We're not talking about big things. Yeah, you worry about the big things. But what about the little things? That is the one we have to worry about, because the little things sooner or later become a big thing. So deal with the big things first. Let's deal with the small things first. So you go back and say, well, mija, listen. Mija means my daughter, but she's not your daughter, but it's just a Hispanic thing. You gave me $20 too much. And sure, I don't wanna take them because they're not mine to begin with. And you're gonna have to pay for it. So here. I'm sure she's gonna be nice. You're gonna change her day. That's what happened to Brother Branham that day, that he went to the restaurant with, I forgot the brother. And she didn't give a good service. She was all turned around that day. She had a bad time with the husband, the children, the school, blah, 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 and the car wouldn't start, and everything went wrong. That was the worst day of her life. And when she got to work, her mind was not even into it. So her service wasn't a great, you know. So Brother Brown sitting there with the brother, I forgot his name. And the guy is complaining. The brother is complaining. Wow, the service. This is bad and blah, 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 blah. She don't deserve to give him any tip. Wow, honest bill. Okay. So Brother Branham, after everything was said and done, he left them, and those days, I think $5, or I think it was, well, that's a lot of money then. And the brother said, what's wrong with you, brother? I mean, you know the servant, blah, blah, blah. He says, being a prophet, he says, she had a hard day today. And I want to make something for her that make her feel a little better. Little things. We need to worry about the little things in life. You know, when you meet your brother or when you go to work, will you try to make somebody else's life more miserable than it already is? Or you're going to have a little smile for them? Sometimes I went to work and places, and sometimes I walk in Walmart, somebody smiles at me. And I had to really, it just kind of works me up. I said, thank you for the smile. I needed it. And, you know, I start thinking, wow, you know, I'm walking around very serious. Not that I'm serious to begin with. Until I'm laughing, that's a different story. I'm joking, but sometimes, you know, things kind of, little things like that. I said, wow, I needed that smile. If that's all you got, why don't you give it away? It don't cost you anything. Just make sure you brush your teeth nice and good. You know? Don't do it after lunch when you got all the spinach and, you know, salad in your teeth. No, I'm just... So, he says, I wonder if John didn't see a lot of that before he died. People saying they love God, but not obeying his word. This is maturity. Children, obey your parents. Okay? So, if it's that easy, well, we don't do it. Obeying is the first step to maturity. See, the Bible said, honor your father and your mother, obey, respect your mother and father, and your life should be elongated, or long life, more years to it. My mother is a bless her dear heart, she is a witness. She's my witness of that. I just went to celebrate her 100 years, and she still walks and moves and do things. I mean, if I live 100 years, they ask me, man, you got some genes. If I can be that way, I don't want to be in a bed with oxygen and everything strapped to my arm. If I can be 100 that I will. But she took care. She was a registered nurse for many years. And she took an early retirement at 55, I think it was. Wasn't ready yet, but she took it because my grandma came out with Alzheimer's. And somebody needed to take care of my mom, my grandma. She was a living grandma. She was our nanny, our grandma, too, for many years. She was older at the time. I don't know. She was 60-some when I left 20 years later. She should have been about 70 or something when I left, 60, 70. So my mom took an early retirement, less money after working all those 30 years, less money to stay home and take care until she died at home. Then my grandfather from my father's side got sick, and grandmother, and she took care of both of them in that house until they all died in the house. Because she's a nurse, so she took care of all of them. So my father too, both of them. So look at her. When I see my mom, I say, you know, you are a testimony that the word of God is real and it's a good word. Not that I want to live long, there are 100 years to be, you know, but God is true. Whatever he promised you, he will deliver. But we have to obey. And that's the first one. Obey your parents, children. When Jesus, the Bible said that he grew in what? In wisdom and stature. Also said that he suffered. He learned obedience by what? By the things that he suffers. So by the time he was 12 years old, where do you think he was at? Discussing the word with the Pharisees, with the high priest. Why? Because he was obedient to the word of God from time age one all the way. So he learned wisdom. Children, you know, when I'm saying children, I mean from 1 to 12 years old, according to Brother Branham's definition. Listen, you want to learn wisdom, then do whatever your parents tell you to do, because everything they do and they tell you is for your own good. And this wisdom, listen, there's value on what mom and dad tells you in everything. So if you don't buck against those things, sooner or later you become wise. Why? Because you learn from the wiser ones. See, so when you become 12 years old, you are in good shape to start your youth, your teenager years, because you have learned something that is basic for all of us, is to be obedient. Because you, just a slight one way or another, just a little bit, we're stepping away from Christ. It says, John says, one little deviation from the word and a step away from Christ. People say they love God, they go to church, they have shout and rejoice and sing and have a great emotion time. But when all is over, watch and see if they're walking in the word, living in it. If they go through all the others and then don't walk in that word, they can say they love God, but their lives tell another story. I wonder if John did see this lot of that before he died. People saying they love God, but they not obey his word. Oh, Ephesian church, something is happening to you. As it was in the Alpha, it will be in the Omega. If we are not careful, it can happen to us. He says, Ephesian church, sometimes it's happening to you. Something is happening to you. Someone is trying to either add to that word or take from it. Not me, not the pastor. Someone, but that someone is not a person. Yeah, the devil will use a person, but it's the devil that will put ideas in your head. Anything that comes contrary to the word of God, anything that assault itself above the word of God, should be rejected. And that's all it is to it. And any time when we take the lie, because Satan is full of lies, we take the lie and we believe the lie, we're one step away from Christ. Because either we take the lie, or we take the word. That's the only two choices. But Satan uses people to do that, to take you out of that balanced place that you need to be. He says, add that word or take from it. But they are doing it so subtly that you cannot see it. We are living in some treacherous, dangerous days. Things are happening out there that you don't even know they're happening. Sometimes, you know, you don't even see it coming. That's why we have to be in that hiding place. Because when you're in that hiding place, I don't care what happened outside. It's not going to affect me. It says, Ephesians said, but they are doing it so subtly that you cannot see it. They haven't made a move so big that you can see it. See, it is a small deviation. So small that if you are careful, you don't see it. That is a tactic of the devil. Okay, you know, well, you know. Who said that? Too much church. Oh, be careful. Yeah, it's a small thing. You don't need to come to church. You don't need, salvation is not based on how many times you come to church. Yeah, and you can start reasoning these things out. Just a little small thing. That's a small thing. And it's such a small thing why we have so much hard time. It's not so small. But as soon as we start reasoning things to our own benefit, you're deviating. We are deviating from the word. It says, if they haven't made moves so big that you can see it out there in the open, it is on the cover, and they are bringing in by way of reason, and human understanding. Anything human, any reason, any understanding will come against the word of God. It says, and it will take over unless you what? Refuse it. So, are we going to believe the lie? Or are we going to believe the word? Because you have to refuse the word, like in the garden, to take. That's what Brother Brown says. You have to believe God before you can believe the lie. He says, understanding I will take over unless you refuse it. Because a little bit here and a little bit here and a little bit here, and sin will take you further than you want to go. And the more little things happen, the big thing happen. And it's hard to come back. The further we go, the more excuses we make, the more we reason, the more we say with this, the more further we go. And then it's so hard to come back to church. He says, human understanding, I may take unless you refuse it. So, Satan has no power. We know that already. He cannot create. He cannot change. He can do nothing. The only thing he can do is to steal and rob. That's what he do. You give him the power. You empower his when you believe the lie, and we believe the lie, we empower him. Now he can do what he wants. Refuse it. Resist it. And he had to fly. Human understanding, take and refuse it. Go back to what? The P word. Go back to Pentecost. Before it's what? Too late. We discuss that in a minute. What he means to go back to Pentecost. 1 John 3:10. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning. The message has not changed. There's nothing new. There's more. But this message has not changed. It says that we should love one another. If you love God, you have to love your brother. Because if not, then that's a lie. I didn't say that. That's what the Bible says. So, we should love one another. And this message hasn't changed. Now, John the Baptist, John the Revelator, he went and got all this revelation. And after he was all revelated, what did he come back and say? Love. Wow, what a revelation. All that time with all the seven seals, and that's all you had to bring us? Because without perfect love, I don't care how revelated you are. If you cannot love like God loves you, remember he says about that love as he loved you? You know how God loved you? He will not limit you in the sense that is no conditions. He hasn't told you, if you do this, I love you more. If you do this, I love you less. He cannot love you. You can do nothing for him to love you more, and you can do nothing less for he can love you less. God loves you unconditionally. You know what unconditionally means? That doesn't matter what I do to him, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Now, can you think that way from your brother and your sister? Can you love that person the same way? It doesn't matter what they've done to you. Oh, you cannot see him even in pictures. Oh, selfie, I don't want to see that person. Oh, that person is coming down the street in this side. Well, I'm going to jump to the other side because I don't want to be coming across that person. Whatever person it is, whatever sister it is, whatever brother it is. And I'm not talking about another church. I'm talking to you guys tonight. Do you love your brother and sisters unconditionally? Or you put conditions? Now, I want you to think about that because we're going to get to it in a minute. Well, if they borrow $20 from me and they don't pay me, I don't want to borrow, give him no more money again. The Bible said if they ask you for your church, give him your coat and everything else. That's what Jesus said. If you love a person and they ask you for something, give it to him. But I need it. This is the only way. Yeah, I don't. Just give it to him because he needed more than you need it. When you go and see homeless and it's cold out there and you have a nice coat, would you give your nice fur coat for, what, $10,000? Nobody has that, but I mean, if he has a need, are you going to leave it there? That's how much you love anybody. So he says, now, I will restore. We get to Pentecost. He said, now, if Pentecost was God's vine, which was a new vine that has grown up, then these four destroyers has been the one that eat the vine down. Now, let us find out what Pentecostal had and find out what he got lacking. And then we ought to find out what the destroyers are, who they are. Well, what did it? Now, the first thing Pentecost produced was what? Oh my goodness, I think I saw that word here. Hold on. Man, those guys started from the top. My God, we're going to have to struggle to get there. But as it was in the Alpha, it has to be in the Omega. Pentecost hasn't changed. I told you, the word God don't change. So if he produced the first Omega church God produced here, brotherly love, how are we going to get away with that? With not having brotherly love? When that is the first thing that comes. It says, the first thing that Pentecost produces was brotherly love. Now, Brother Brown says, you know, in the other quote that I read, it says, hurry up. Get back to what? To Pentecost. See? So the first thing that we need to look is at brotherly love. He tore down the middle wall of partition. He made a brotherhood to such way that they had everything in common in the Bible days. A brotherhood. Paul spoke of this brotherhood, and he gave all the gift to the Pentecostal church, and they said in 1 Corinthians 13, that though I speak with tongues of men and angels, I have not this love. So you can be all revelated, but if you don't have this love, which brings the brotherhood, I am nothing, period. And thou and thought I had the knowledge to understand all mysteries of God, I am still nothing without love. Not just love, without his love. The love of the brethren. Jesus said, this will all men know that you are my disciples. See, Jesus gave the 11th commandment. Jesus says to the disciple, by these, all men will know that you are my disciple. This is the only way that I know that you are a Christian, and this is a Christian church. That's the only evidence that he left us. It says, when you have love for what? Is that hard? Yes, it is. Because we're not talking about your natural love. We're talking about agape love. It's the love of God, unconditional. Right. Jesus, even in the cross, he didn't send them all to hell. He was beaten. He was kicking. They spit on him. They did everything they did to him. And he could have said, you know what, I'm done with you guys. If this is what you're going to treat me the way you're going to do, I ain't dying for you guys. No, that's love. Because either he die and we be saved, or he don't and we be lost. But he didn't came to, so we can be lost, so we can be found. See? So even when people spit on him, false accused him, when they did all they did to him, they're trying to look to kill him, to trap him, he still have an unconditional love. Now, can we do that? Yes, we can. He says, Pentecost had that. Pentecost had that. So you think you're going to get out of here and we are going to get out of here with that, without that? No. So let's get to Pentecost quickly, as quick as we can. He says, when you have love for one another, Pentecost had that. I am speaking Pentecost, meaning the first group of the apostles and disciples, they had brotherly love. They wasn't greedy. They sold everything they had for the furthering of the church. They were so together till when one heard that one died, they said, let us go and die with him. Such a feeling. Such a feeling. Revelation 2:4. So what happened? Nevertheless, I have something against thee, because thou hast left your what? So as soon as we start cooling off, as soon as we start deviating, what is the first thing that goes? Christ. And Christ is the heart of God, love. And then you see the product when we start deviating from the word of God. Some people been in this message 40, 50 years. But you know what? It doesn't matter how long you've been in the message. It's just like a wife and a husband. I don't care how long they've been married. I love my wife more today than I did when I met her. Is that the way you feel about God? We sing songs, oh, I'm more of you, you know. Oh, tomorrow is sweeter than the day before, you know. I love you more and I love you more. Are you singing with understanding or you just singing? Are we singing with understanding or not? Because all that is going to play one day and say, remember that song? Yes. Didn't you want more of me? Yeah. Well, so what happens then? It's not just songs. You know, when Brother John gets here and all people, the musician, we are not entertaining you. All these, one of these days, some people are going to see it again play out. Remember when you said you love me? Yes, I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love that you had at first. Do you feel the same way, even better about him than when you met her the first time? Do you feel about your wife now? That's what Brother Brown said. Treat your wife as a sweetheart. I don't care if she's 45, 50 years you've been married and they're getting old. Always treat her like a sweetheart. Because what you're doing is you're giving witness that you love. Brother Brown says, you know, if I go overseas, you know, and my wife, and I tell my wife before I go, you know, I'm paraphrasing, he says, listen to me. He says, you better don't go outside and you better don't have fun and you better don't go party and you better don't do this and you better don't do that, because when I come back and I know, and she said, well, sir, let me tell you something. When you go out there and you start flirting with all the girls, he didn't use that word, but I used that word, and doing this and doing that, you know, the same thing. It works both ways. And he said, it doesn't matter if I fall and Satan has a trap for me and he deceived me and I fall and I do something, I know she will forgive me. Why? Because she loves me. Love unconditionally. Because it wasn't him. He said, if Satan deceived me. He didn't went out there to do that, but he had trapped into something. So he says, I know she will forgive me. But he said, because I love her, I will not do that. I will not do that. How much do you love your mate? How much do you love God? Well, by your action, it can tell how much you love a person. The same way about God. He says, that is what happened in every age, he says. God delivers the people. They come out of the blood, by the blood, sanctified by the word, walk through the waters of baptism and get filled with the Spirit. But after a while, the first love starts what? Cooling off. I just pray, and I always pray that I will never cool off. I pray that this church will never cool off. Because we should be going greater and better, not less. We should go moving forward. This is what happened in every age, he says. First love cools off. And someone gets the idea that they ought to organize in order to preserve themselves and make name for themselves. And they organize themselves right back into the second generation. And sometimes, even before then, they no longer have the Spirit of God. Just a form of worship. They are dead. They have hybridized themselves with creeds and form, and there is no life in them. And just took a little leaning, a little deviation. See? Revelation 2:6 says, But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitan, which I also hate. See? And it says over here, first seal, and Christ is the truth, and Christ is the word. But they would rather have a what? A creed. Huh. See? So we start desiring something else beside God. Then, huh. See? That means our love is getting what? Cool off. We're cooling off. Exposition of the seven Ephesian church. In plain English, that means that the church was in danger of being taken away from the leading of the Holy Spirit, that is Christ in you. So if we deviate, there is no Holy Spirit. It takes a flight. And the control of the Spirit. Now, 2 Thessalonians 2:10, 11, and we all, and with all and unrighteousness, and them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be what? Saved. So some people will not receive the love of the truth. He didn't say that they received the truth. They did receive the truth. They did not receive the what? The love of the truth. Because when God gives you the truth, he also gives you the love for the word. See, the more I hear, the more I know him, the more I fall in love with him, because the truth brings what? Love. It creates a love in you. The people received the truth, but the love wasn't there. So they decided that they would not believe it. It wasn't them. But you and I, we are believers, and we profess to be Christian, filled with the Holy Ghost. When you come to church and you hear the truth, it should create love. That's all he's saying. Simple. The same love that God put in that word. He is a word. He is love. When we hear that every Sunday, every Wednesday, we need to what? To grow up. Because in the love of God, brotherly love is what we're looking for. Because we ain't going to get caps until we get to the last, that is brotherly love. How can the love of God come down when we don't even that far up there? If we cannot love our brother, how can we love God? That's what God says. You know, if you say you love me, but you don't love your brother, you're a liar. Because how can you say that you are that high when you don't even love your brother? So let's start loving our brother first before you start saying, I love God. But if you love God, you love me. Because that is the evidence that you love God. You know that? The only evidence is that you love his word. And we all part of his word. It says, So let me make a statement right here. So they might be saved. So they will not be saved because they did not receive the love. You were predestined before the foundation. If you was in him, you will love the truth. So you will never get mad. You will never come to church. And when you hear the word from me, I don't care if it's a rebuke, it's a teaching, it's a warning, whatever it is, you will love it. If you complain, if we come to church, like I read at the beginning, and we complain about church, what is the love of God? You don't understand. We don't understand why we come to church. So the truth can come forward so we can grow and grow in love. If you don't grow in love here, find another preacher because you're wasting your time. If I don't grow in love, if we don't grow under this ministry, I'm not talking this ministry, the ministry that God has put in the church, but it's where I find you another place. If this ministry is not producing love for one another to that point that we are unconditional loving one another, let's find another, let's do something else. Because I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to waste his time. So, there's three kind of people. I always said, there's the people that, and there's a lot of people that care about the truth. And there are some people that they get deceived, you know, because the wicked will deceive them. He knows how to manipulate things. He knows how to do things. But some people that care for the Lord, some of them will go astray and believe the lie. See? And others, like you and me, we love the truth. See? We have a power and love for the truth. So, and we want to do everything that the word says. But those that are dying, they don't want to be saved because they missed the boat. It's not because they wanted to. How can they understand the love of God unless God will love them first? Amen. I know how to love God because he loved me first. But some people will not understand that. They say that they love God, but they don't know what they're saying. See? Because you have to experience his love before you can say that you love somebody else. After verse 11, 2 Thessalonians 11 says, "And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusions that they should believe a lie." Wow. You know what a delusion is? There is somebody that will believe a lie. Somebody that will call, you know, that we call reality. You know, their reality is what is real, and the real is not a reality to them. So they believe the lie. They believe that their kind of way, reasoning and thinking, is real. But it's against the word of God. Can you imagine God decided, well, you guys don't want to believe me. You don't want to believe the truth, and you don't receive the love of the truth. That means that's what you want. I throw in the solution so you can believe your own lie. Can you imagine that, living in that kind of a condition, a disillusion? Life is so self-disillusioned. At the end, you know, you thought you was being real, and it happened that you're not, because that's what the solutions do. 1 John 3:10, "And this, the children of God are manifest in the that the children from the children of the devil, whosoever those not righteousness." Righteousness is to do the right thing, to think the right thing, and to do the right things. And the right things is the word of God. It says, "Righteousness is not of God, neither he that love not his brother." So, in this, we know who is and who is not. Something so simple, just to love your brother, can tell anybody if you do or you not. John 4:10, if any man says, "I love God," and hate his brother, I read you this one, he's a liar, for he hath loved not his brother whom he has seen. How can he love God who he has not seen? I'm going to advance here quickly. Let's go to Matthew 5:43-48. I want to read you this. "You have heard that it has been said, 'Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy.' I tell you," said Jesus, "but I say unto you, love your enemy, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." if that's the kind of love that we have for everybody else out there, then you're moving in the right direction, that we may be children of your Father which is in heaven. Because that's what Christ did anyway. And he's our example. And God expects no less than what Christ did himself. He said that you may be children of the Father which is in heaven, for he makes his son to rise up in the evil and on the good, and send the rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, okay, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans do the same? If you salute your brethren only, see, let me put it this way. If you, you know, we have a click here and a click there, and you only like those that you like and love that you love and the rest of them. But this is what he's saying. Let's not leave it the message out there. Let's bring it home. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about us. What good is going to do me to talk about them? He says, and if you salute brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even be therefore what? Perfect. Even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now let me tell you what. Let's Brother Brannan tell you what that means. And now we put the blood of Jesus Christ. See, and that brings the faith of Jesus Christ, the virtues of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ bring the what? Bring the faith and bring what? The virtues of Christ. If we have Christ, he has to produce that. There is no doubt about it. Because you know what? Because he said it. That's all. And it has to happen. He says, the virtues of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of Jesus, the temperance, Jesus Christ, the patience of Jesus Christ, the godliness of Jesus Christ, the brotherly kindness of Jesus Christ, and the love of God, which is Jesus Christ. He's the head of the control you. So if you're in love with God and he's your head and he controls you, you got to produce the virtues of Christ. Amen. Check yourself. I have to check myself, because that is what maturity is all about. I'm not checking myself against you. We are not in the same levels. We all going to be in the same level sooner or later to get out of here. But I'm checking myself with the word. He says, the passion is the on Jesus. Says, and you, and your feet is the foundation, faith. Amen. Controlled by the head. He says, there you are. There is the perfect man of God when he possesses these virtues. Be perfect as I am perfect. When we possess these virtues, then what do you think we're still here? I'm in the rapture, brother. I say it's overdue. Because this is our goal. And our motive when we come to church is this. Amen. There's no other reason. There's no other better than. This is the only reason, the only motive, the only purpose that we come to church. To get shaped and to get more to that image. Right. If we don't, we're not out of here. How do you know it's working? Well, check your own life. Yes. What is producing? The Bible said examine yourself. The Bible didn't tell me to examine you. But he told me to check your fruits. I'm a fruit, you know. I can see your life, and I can see the fruit that God has produced. He says, Jesus Christ says, when he possessed these virtues. Now, Jesus said, God said, be perfect as I am perfect. You know why he told you that? Because it is possible. Amen. That is what he's working on you. Yes. Perfect love, perfection. And perfection is God. But he's working it. All we have to do is just surrender ourselves to him and let him work that image that he has before the foundation. Let it shape us. Let us mold us. Let us die to ourselves. And let it be true to the word of God. What are we fighting? That just like Paul one time, he was, you know, he says, give against the prick, you know. Why? Sooner or later, if he's the son of God, he's going to have to. And he did. You're going to have to surrender. Why? You know, prolong the punishment. You know, the miseries. Just come to Christ, surrender all. And let him finish the work that he already started. It's not yours. He is going to finish. He said he will. He said, but each age God has a place these things into the church. He says, and patterns is by showing that each individual has these things. See? That is how it works. God placed it in this church. And the pattern is by showing it that each individual has these things. So the only reason that I know this church and the ministry is because we are seeing, we possess what God says we possess because it's showing. It says, and this being when it's completed, see? And it's this being when it is completed. It's the church is going to the rapture. So you know why the rapture is overdue? Because some of us, we are not there yet. Because I tell you, when we get there, if I'm the first one that come all the way up, and I possess all these virtues, not just because I said I possess them, because you can see them. You know what? God decided to take me. I'm done. When I'm done, if the rapture's not here, He takes me. I'm done. But I guess I'm not done. I think got to work. I'm a work in progress. God still had to do some work on me. Now he says, and this being when it's completed, the church will going into the rapture. So let's try harder. Maybe we can all leave as a church and wait for everybody else. And this being when he says, and this being and completed is a servant of God. And this is what you want. You want to serve God. You want to be a servant of God. You love God to church the way you want to be. A friend of God, not so much a servant. He said, I will call you friends. So if we want to do that, hey, let's get going. So, you know, let's get back to Pentecost, where everything started. He says, and this being complete, he says, that's going in the rapture. Glory. See what I mean? There you are. There's your full team. Conclusion. Give me a few minutes here and I will finish. 20 minutes. My little children, let us not love. Now let's get to the greenie, you know, with the rope. Meet the rope, or the rope meet the rope. Anyway, each one meet each other anyway. But listen, here's where we come down. This is the bottom line. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongues, but in deed. And in what? Truth, because faith without works is dead. Truth without deed is dead. You can claim all the truth you want to. If there's no deed, if there's no love, it's dead. Here, so for me now, I'm going to read quite a bit, but I'm done by 9. But follow me. This is very important. It's a lot of reading, but just follow me. There never was a life ever lived like his, because he was the God manifested in flesh when he was born. He was the expression of what God the Father is. And God the Father being love, then Jesus was the full expression of what? Of love. He was love. From the very first time that his little hands, baby hands, stroked the pretty cheeks of his mother, he was love. And that's what you got in you. And that's what I got in me. That's what we got, Christ. How can Christ don't produce what he is? And I think today that's where many, listen to me, that's where many are failing to recognize that he was love. God is love, and they that love are born of God. It's not the other way around. Oh, I know the truth. Oh, I love God. You can say all you want that you love God. But that is born of God, we love. And that's so secure for me because this is not something that I have nothing to do with it. He's doing. See? Now, God so loved the world that is the unlovable. That was me. I was unlovable one time. I didn't even love myself. That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, that shall not perish, but have what everlasting life. He expressed his love when he was here in earth, Christ, and so many different ways, till it's undisputable that he was the most loving creature that ever lived. That's what is in you, and that's what is in me. And if we are going to mature, you know what happened to a fruit when it matures? And you know why I know it's mature? It's sweet. And we're supposed to ripen. So when you ripen, if you tell me you ripen, you better be sweet, buddy. Or you're not there. You can talk all you want to, but unless you're sweet, I don't want it. Until you get sweet, keep working on it. That's for me too. That's not only you. He says, till it's indisputable that he was the most loving creature. And I think in his life here, he was expressing God. And that's what God wants. God wants to manifest himself through you. And that means love. And the only way that God can be expressed to the people is through love. Now get it? People are there looking. People are there in chaos. People are looking for something real. And you have it, and he said the only way they're going to see it is because it's in you. That's how God chose this thing. God could appear to them and everything will be over, but no, he chose you to manifest the love of God to their lost world. So you have a really a serious task in your hands. Let God have his way. Because that is the only way he's going to show who he is. You understand that? That is all he wants to do. He says, and he did so when, let's see, only God expressed people through his love. And well did he do this when he caught one of the most vilest women that there was in his days, perhaps. They found her just guilty. And no way out when she was found in adultery, and they drug her up before him and said, "What do you said do for her?" And when he turned to her and said, "I don't condemn thee, go and sin no more," instead of being throwing her out in the streets to be dragged out like a bunch of wolves over her, to stone her and take her life, his tender and mighty hand, see, loving heart stooped way down into the scene that she was in, said, "I don't condemn thee. Just go and sin no more." And when he was in his way down to the grave of Lazarus, he think that was another great time that he expressed what God is to the human being. See? Expressing God's love to another human being. It says, and when he went down to the grave of Lazarus, he says, express what God is to his human being. Not only in he, a God that can forgive the lowest sin that could be committed and take the guilty and make them guiltless by his pardoning love, but after that, he laid us in silence. And he is still concerned about us. I think he will express that on the road down with Martha and Mary when he come to the house where death has shut up the life of a lovely person, and on his road down to the grave, yet being God, knowing that he would rise him from the dead, knowing that he had been told him that in his very words lie the power to rise him from the grave, yet when he seen Martha and Mary and those who loved Lazarus crying, the Bible said he wept. What was it? His great, loving heart. And sometimes we know people suffer. Sometimes our own brothers and sisters suffer. People suffer and we don't even move. When he seen that man, his friend, was in trouble. He was trouble with them. When one heard, we all heard. If that's the way you feel about your brother and sister, if that's what you feel about anybody, I am so glad to know that he can be found among the brokenhearted. And in our sorrows, he's not one that would leave us. He stands by us when all has failed. And then the last hope of early reaching has come to this end. He's still God and he loves us. He was expressing love for God. And we like that. We love that. But he wasn't to leave it there. To enjoy it all. What about the world that is dying and there? Chaos. Looking for something. For some hope. And how I believe that long for his people to be so anointed with this, for his spirit. He longed for his people to be anointed with his spirit. That we could go to each other and in trials and troubles and give the expression of his sympathy is pour from our heart that being born of his spirit to reflect in the church the love of the living God that well express what he says. All the poet says, living, he loved me. Interesting, he says. When you feel the Holy Spirit, when it comes down, yes, we love it. We scream. We shout. But if that's all you're supposed to be, if that don't make you love the worst, your worst enemy in that moment, if it don't, I don't know what was it. Yeah, it was a good time. But when you was anointed, what was your thoughts? It has to be his thought. You cannot think your own thought when you're anointed. I know that. So if your thought is not for someone else when you're anointed, to see who needs service, who is hurting. I'm not saying that we cannot enjoy the anointing. We did this weekend, but that's all it was. Did you thought about someone hurting, someone that was needy, somebody needed to go and maybe cut the grass because they couldn't cut the grass outside? Okay, that's too far-fetched. Something. He showed what he did to the whole human race. The way God represented himself in Jesus Christ. He expressed his opinion to the human race to forgive and to love those who were unlovable. And I wonder, this Easter morning, it's not Easter morning, but that was Easter morning, how short we fall of that. We could love those who love us, but he loved those who did not love him. So are we getting more credit to love the guys at church that we love each other and we are, you know, like this? Or the recompense is greater when we love someone that don't love you? He was the greatest. I said that. He was the great, the first representation. And we are the what? The rest to come. It has to be like him. It cannot change. The word of God cannot be broken. You understand? If he don't produce that, then it's something wrong. Not with him. Not with the word. He said, the first representation, I love that ever hit the earth. It was despised of those who live on the earth to whom he loved. No man, he says, could ever love like him. And no man was ever hated like him. So what is our complaint? They hated him and despised him, rejected him, but they did not stop his love. That's when you know you fall in love with God. But it doesn't matter what the world do to you, you still love that person. You still love to come to church. It doesn't matter what the pastor say. It's not about the pastor. It's not about the church. It is about your relationship with God. It's all it is. He says, the last, he said, despite rejected, but did not stop his love. See, when you are in that hiding place, there's nothing that can separate you from that love. He said, Then last, when he was hanging on the cross, after that life that he had lived has been done, nothing but good things. Forgiving the guilty, healing the sick, and just the things that were good, when he was last breath on the cross with the vulgar mocking spear, and them who stood by hanging from him, his sacred face, he cried with a heart full of love. That's what he died. You remember? It was a broken heart, love. That's what broke his heart. That even after all that, he still put it out there. Father, forgive them, because they know not what they do. The last one, he could understand. Being God, he understands. That's why he could love us when we were unlovable, because he's God and he understands. Living, he loved me. Never a life lived like it, because it was wrapped in love. Amen. What are you wrapped on? What am I wrapped on? A tortilla like a burrito? I will know you by your wrapper. I mean, not wrapping, you know. Not that kind of wrapper. By your wrapper. Yeah, I didn't mean that. It just came out that way. Can you stand? I'm going to read you. This is what we started. It says, Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love. So if you have the truth, it has to bring love. Truth brings love. It's not that you're speaking the truth in love. May grow up into him all things which is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love. That don't mean you have to try hard to speak the truth in love. If you have the truth, you should have, in fact, you should have love. Because truth brings love. And then we will grow. And we become every respect the mature body of him who is the head. We talked about maturity. And there's so many things that we can continue talking about. Confessing is a trait of maturity. Well, I'm not going to touch that one. That could be next time, but I'm done with maturity at least. Because if we profess to be Christians and we profess to love God, then God should manifest through us the same kind of a love that he had, that he chose in Christ Jesus. So I ask you the question. I'm going to read it to you, then I'll finish. He said, I want to ask you something. Have you ever come to the place in your life where Christ means more to you than all the arguing you could do about your church? Second question. Has Christ means more to you than all the world? Than all that you think you know, or I know, or we know? Last one. He says, the last question. He says, I can't find it. Maybe if I put my glasses, that will help. He says, I mean, from the depth of my heart, that something settles in there, that something takes place that you don't know how it comes, but you are hid away. And your whole motive is to serve Christ. The only way you can serve Christ is not here. His presence is here. His Holy Spirit is here. So the only way you can serve Christ is when you serve one another. You know that? That's the only service that will be acceptable. Not serving yourself, but when you serve others. Have you entered that place, my dear brother? Have you come into that place where you don't care what anyone's saying or what is going on or what happening? Not to go out and be acting smart, but till the love of God is so anchored into you that you cannot see nothing else. It doesn't matter what attack comes to you. It doesn't matter what people do to you. You only see love. They crucified him in the cross, and he didn't show a whole map trying to kill him. He saw people that had problems, people that were lost. He even there was doing all kind of things, but he didn't show that. He looked beyond my sin, and you can do. We can do the same. That's the love of God. Your whole motive is to do the will of God. Love for everybody, flowing free from everywhere. What a place. I said, what a church. I said, what a people. What a Christians. What you playing? Sing it. Start it for me. Until they show no more love, then you are here. You will never exhaust the resources again. Want to leave?